I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A friend of yours was making fun of us because he was like, you guys make this point at the start of every Sprinkles about like, oh, you've had so much great email, so many great listener contributions. We couldn't get to all of them. But then we'll like happily yammer on about our ball movements or your ball sack.
They come for the listener insights.
They stay for your scrotal sack.
I've been thinking this week that we really need a better word than listeners, because we've got this with this community of people who are obsessed with Succession.
The word community is also bad.
It is, but I'm just saying, that's who we are with this gang. Is there anything that's sort of directly related to the podcast? Are these people who have a Succession itch to scratch? Does that make them crotch scratchers?
No, that doesn't roll off the tongue.
What about NRPIs?
Not real people.
Yeah, no real person involved.
Yeah, I don't mind that one. Like referring to all of us as not real people involved. That does feel kind of right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. We had so many nice letters.
Ready for the first one?
Yep.
This comes from Kristen.
A.K.A. Emily Dickinson and Low Thread Count Sheets.
Hello, FC and NC. Thank you for bringing joy to this St. Paul, hometown of Tom Wamsgams, Residence Life with your podcast. A couple of things I can't stop thinking about from this week's episode. Number one, Succession loves to show us a perfectly prepared lobster only to have it go uneaten. On the beach, Josh offers Kendall and Logan a seafood lunch complete with gigantic lobsters that all sit lifeless in their bowl. It reminds me of the premiere episode of season 2, The Summer Palace, when Logan makes the Hamptons staff throw out a gorgeous seafood and lobster lunch because he says it has dead raccoon stink on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping those aren't real lobsters.
I'm sure they're real lobsters.
This eating thing is out of control. You have to like swallow the food before you talk.
I'm sorry, guys.
I don't mean to shame you for this.
Oh my God, this was like when those girls accused me of shaming them at this stand-up show that I did. Basically, I was doing this stand-up gig and these three young women came in and they were really late and they showed up in the front row. And then I sort of had to make fun of them and acknowledge that situation and they'd come from a dinner. Fine. And then I'm sort of trying to do this thing and they're like sort of chatting and continuing to go into their bags and take out noisy food. And so I said to them, ladies, we've just had dinner. Can we just quit it here? Because you're not home watching TV. And this girl was like, don't food shame us. And I was like, I hope that you die. Like, tell your parents that you don't deserve to live. And I said so. It was so the way they took their own like sort of entitlement moving through the world and made it about me shaming them made me weep for the future. Thank you.
I like to think that they weren't. As a vegetarian, I do like to think that they maybe weren't real lobsters. They were prop lobsters.
Does Succession seem
no,
like
it doesn't,
a show?
But I don't want to think about that. Point number two. This week's episode got into some anti-Semitism. Josh is presented as a Jewish character, one who hangs a mezuzah. Mezuzah. At his modernist beach house. In the lead up to the meeting, we hear Roman call Josh a chiseler, and Frank says Josh wants his pound of flesh during the meeting. Logan refers to Josh as counting gold in his castle, and Kendall calls out Logan's anti-Semitic remark about Josh being far away from a coffee and a bagel. As the Jewish half of the podcast, I think you're far more qualified to talk about the introduction of...
Interestingly, I didn't hear coffee and bagel as anti-Semitic. I heard it as like a New Yorker.
Oh, you see, I heard it as anti-Semitic because I feel like it's a New Yorker even, or East Coast, or metropolitan, can all be code words, all sort of anti-Semitic
code words. Right. I think that is right. Was it all just there to sort of... help us remember who these people are.
I think so. I think there's been a few things recently where they've just wanted to remind us that however lovable we find Logan, he is despicable in any number of ways. And then finally, how did I forget to mention Tom's three-ring binder on prisons? There's no way an assistant would have made that for him, right? Did he actually put it together himself, plastic page sleeves and all? Is there a section on toilet wine? Well, first of all, that just feels true to the character that Tom, who's at ATN, he's not a television person, but all of a sudden he's the boss of this network, is sitting in that office on his own, printing off and laminating and making a binder about prisons. That feels so true to the character, doesn't it?
And it also feels like Tom would have at a certain point been capable of asking someone to do that for him. But of course, that someone would be Greg. And Greg is now not the right man for that job anymore. Yeah. I thought that was an especially brilliant observation.
I did a bit of research on toilet wine.
Remember, it made me feel kind of gaggy.
So what you do is you get a load of fruit or sweet stuff like ketchup or gummies, and you put them in a bag with some fruit cocktail, and you bash that bag up. You'd use like a bin bag or a garbage sack, as you would call it, right? Mm-hmm. Then maybe you'd hide it under the mattress or in the cistern of the toilet, hence the name toilet wine. Then you get something like a bread roll, mm-hmm. which has the yeast in it, and then you put that in and you bash it around a bit more and leave it longer. Mm-hmm. That releases gas into the bag, which is tightly sealed. And then every now and again, you have to burp it, which mm-hmm. is to let the gas out of the bag mm-hmm. and then reseal it. Mm-hmm. You do that over a few days, I think, mm-hmm. and it starts to ferment and become alcoholic.
Well, I feel sad now, but thanks for that. Do you want to sign off from this NRIP?
I will. Fuck off and keep up the good work. Emily Dickinson and Low Thread Count Sheets.
I don't love NRIP in the moutheroo. No real person I do kind of like. Okay, let's try it on this one. This comes from No Real Person, Phoebe, a.k.a. Little Lord Fuckleroy. Dear Miss Crotch and Mr. Core, great. You invited young listeners to get in touch who want to see more Roman and Jerry, and here I am, age 29. I think there's a few things going on for me. Some parts are hotter than others. Number one, not hot. Roman's shame kink / sexual psychology. It's interesting, as the excellent listener explained last week, but it's not sexy. Fair. Number two, quite hot. Sometimes the simplest explanation is the right one. You're always saying that, darling, when I start to spiral about something. There's great chemistry between the two characters. If you watch Roman in most scenes, his eyes follow Jerry, and that kind of infatuation is compelling. Interestingly, I don't really want to see them hook up, as the will they, won't they is probably the best part. Edging.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel that edging. Something about edging makes me feel like I'm going to gag as well.
Is it the word?
I don't know, but I'm gagging now. Number three, you know me, always eating or gagging. Number three, hot. While Roman's interest in Jerry might be more than just sex, what she gets out of it is the most interesting part. It might be a good business move for her, and I'm sure she does care for Roman. But also, you so rarely used to see an older woman, especially a dull at first glance corporate lawyer and mother. I just want to say I never found her dull at first glance. She just didn't feel sexual at first glance. That's for me. Presented as sexual and powerful. Despite Roman's wealth, she holds almost all the cards and seems at ease with herself, even if she doesn't fully know yet what her situation with Roman means. She survived working for the Roys, and if she can get an ego boost and catch a dick in the process, then good for her.
On the sometimes the simplest explanation is the right one, there's just great chemistry. I think that's right. But then that doesn't invalidate point one, which is there is an underlying reason for everything with all of us. I think you can still find it like an exciting dynamic without thinking about what bleak things happened in Roman's childhood to get him there, right?
Yes. I think that one of the reasons that we've all gone so hard on the Roman analysis is a little less about what fucked up thing happened that he found an older woman sexy, and more about his impotence and the way that things played out with his more traditional girlfriend.
And it's not just that he finds her sexy. It's that there's this dynamic where there's no physical contact and she humiliates. He likes to be humiliated.
Oh, it hurts me so much.
That's what's interesting about it. But it's like you can enjoy a good cheese sandwich without thinking how that cheese got on the sandwich.
Well, vegans can't.
No.
All right, Little Lord Fuckleroy, a.k.a. Phoebe, we thank you for your contribution.
This comes from Jack,
a.k.a. Westchester Judge Fucker.
Hi, Sarah and Jeff. What do we think, and I've had a couple of tweets about this as well, what do we think of Logan's dismissive downgrading of the Beatles from Kendall's great band to good band? Seems like a significant meh To me, it appeared to be delivered with the familiar smugness of the pub bore who is about to list a load of bands that were better than the Beatles, if only you'd been there, man. It seems obvious to me that Logan would have been more Stones than Beatles, but being the perfect age to have witnessed the 60s firsthand, where do we think Logan would have been during the Summer of Love? I imagine he'd have quite Nixonian views of the hippie movement, but I would like to imagine him secretly trying a jazz cigarette and toughing into a bit of beef heart. Much love, stroke, fuck off, Westchester judge fucker. Well, obviously, I do have thoughts on this.
Well, yes, and I thought it was so interesting. We didn't address this week, and you're Mr. Beatles, and I thought, how did we let that go?
So there's just so much in every episode. We don't get time. Because there were two Beatles references.
What was the other
there
one?
There was, on the conference call, Kendall refers to it as a Sergeant Pepper of, like, corporate dysfunction And then there was this Beatles moment, which was actually Josh says, good band. Kendall says, great band. And then Logan says, good band. And I read that really as Logan just being either contradictory or siding with Josh.
So actually, his thoughts on the Beatles are completely irrelevant. We're back to this thing about what he does.
What does he enjoy?
Like, you know, we read someone in an interview with Jesse. No, I think it was with Jeremy Strong. And Jesse Armstrong says, let me think about that for a bit. And then comes back with this sort of beautiful scene of when Kendall as a boy went to visit his dad at work. I would really like it if Jesse Armstrong could, like, let us know about leisurely Logan.
Oh, that'd be so great. El Candy on Twitter pointed out that we've seen Logan watching sport on television.
Yes, but that's less interesting. I'm so grateful for that detail. I don't mean that's less interesting, but we know about this sort of football club stuff. Like, would he be interested in anything artistic? He must read.
So if you are in your 20s during the 60s and that amazing time of coming...
Not for everyone. Can we quickly say that we were just giggling, not because of people having a difficult time in the 60s, but thinking about Greg's line.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Not for everyone.
Like, he must have been going out. He must have been doing stuff.
Dear Jesse, if you ever listen to this, even if it's years in the future, am I making you uncomfortable?
No.
Dear Jesse, hi. If you ever listen to this, it's never too late. And would you consider writing us just, I don't know, a couple pages on a day in Logan's life in 1968?
Let's say 68.
We get a couple pages or a page or a paragraph?
I think the Nixonian thing is right.
Yeah,
and I don't think he would have
really
had any
right.
time for the French students protesting and rioting.
No, but I bet he would have tried a jazz cigarette.
Anything stronger?
I mean, maybe something once, but these things are about the elimination of pain and enjoying loss of control. And that is not Logan. I say this as someone who has basically never done any drugs.
But what about the pain, though? He had an abusive uncle.
We know that, but
he was separated from his parents. His mum died.
I don't like talking about all that stuff. It makes me very sad. But I do just want to say, I think that's what he's used his power and his business acumen to take away those feelings. I mean, they're obviously still there. That's why he's so strange with his own children. Thank you, Westchester Judge Fucker, a.k.a. Jack. I thought that was a very beautifully written email.
Very much so.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This next letter comes from Mark, aka the Shame Sponge. Hey, FCNNC. I've been thinking about the layers thing. By layers, he's referring to Adrian Brody's costuming. I thought it was a smart coastal move, being layered up, as I live in Brighton. And when I moved, my dad, who lives on the Isle of, is that pronounced Arran?
Arran.
Arran. I've never heard of the Isle of Arran.
Have you heard of an Arran knit sweater?
No.
Oh,
I'm learning all the time. Yeah. My dad, who lives on the Isle of Arran, said to me to layer up and to always be prepared, as the weather can always turn on a sixpence. So I just thought Josh was prepared for the day. Best Mark, a.k.a. the Shame Sponge.
You don't think it's just that he was Nesh?
No. Do you want to explain to everyone what Nesh means?
It's when you get cold when it's not that cold. It's a kind of wimpiness or weakness.
Think it's weakness? You've never said that, because you always talk about how I'm Nesh. You've never said that it was a weakness in me.
Well, I know in the North that if you refer to someone as being Nesh, you're ultimately saying something about their character as well.
Oh, my God.
Slime Puppy sent me some pictures of where exactly that was all shot. It was filmed in Montauk, which is past the Hamptons on Long Island.
Wait, I want to do a scene from another film. Meet me in Montauk. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I've also noticed that the internet is alight with jokes and memes about Adrian Brody and his layers in that scene.
Yeah, I mean, it was very... We got a message from a friend of ours being like, oh, I bought a vest. Like, the next day he tried to layer up like Adrian Brody. And he was making fun of himself. I thought he looked good.
He did look good. And you know, you were talking about how Logan and Kendall kind of mirrored each other.
Yes.
And then we were talking about those hats they were wearing, rich person baseball caps.
RPBC.
I did a bit of Googling, and those are quite possibly $1,395 baseball caps by Loro Piana.
Oh my God. They must be made of the finest of wool. The kind of wool that doesn't itch you, right?
Yeah.
The next email comes from my mother. Mm. She wrote to us last week and we told her it wasn't good enough. She's written back this week. So this is from Lynn Barron, a.k.a. my mom, a.k.a. sassy little bitch. Hi, Sarah and Jeff. Hi, Mom. I'm trying to up my game and thought I would write to you about rectal thermometers. We spoke about that a few episodes ago because my mother used to put a thermometer up my butt to take my temperature when I was little.
It's difficult to remember exactly how that related to Succession, but I think we could get into the weeds trying to unpack that.
Yeah. Somehow it did. She says, in the olden days, when I was a young mother, all thermometers had mercury, and there was a danger that a child could bite on an oral thermometer and therefore die of mercury poisoning. This was not a weird family thing nor a Jewish thing. It was simply that there were no other kinds of thermometers in those days. XOXO, sassy little bitch.
It would be interesting to know how the infant mortality rate was affected by these thermometers, because I know a lot of people of a similar age to you.
And you've never heard of it before.
And I've never heard of anyone shoving the thermometer up the anus to avoid the mercury poisoning from biting. So I wonder if this is less that all these kids were dying from biting thermometers and more that your mum is a very anxious person. And this is about that. And now she's lovingly passed that anxiety onto you in the form of a severe phobia.
Oh, yes. I have a severe vomiting phobia, but I have subsequently read books on it. And it's an anxiety disorder that my parents bequeathed to me with their high levels of anxiety. I do blame them, but also I think there's just a point where you go, they fuck you up, your mom and dad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that most other people weren't responding to the threat of mercury poisoning by putting a thermometer in their kids' butts.
Okay, this comes from Jill.
A.K.A. Volvo Genderbender Horseshit. We heard from Jill last week. It's nice to have you back.
Hi. Shiv is used throughout as a diminutive of Siobhan, but the word shiv is also a word which means improvised knife. To shiv someone is to stab them. Cheers. Yeah, this is true. You have a little shiv in a prison, don't you?
What?
You make yourself some toilet wool. You fashion a shiv out of a toothbrush.
For some reason, I find the shiv less disturbing than the toilet wine. I don't know why that is. But basically, this was one of three letters that we had about why is no one saying that shiv has two meanings. And I thought, oh, great. Let's just make sure we've said it.
Do we think that it's the type of show that would hide a clue in plain sight in the name of a character like that.
I don't think she's going to really shiv them.
Maybe we should have a shiv fashioning competition.
No, I don't like that.
No, since my Connor with a ponytail art competition went so
Let's be real. They don't want to make anything for us. Yes. That's the message I'm getting. I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah.
This is just a little quickie, but I liked it. This is from Ruth, a.k.a. Moaning Mini. Just to say, I loved your observations on the two sides of Naomi Pierce and noted her black and white dress this week. I never thought of it that way. Mm. Underlining the duality of her character, but also reminded me of Cruella de Vil. That's it. All right. Lastly, Jeff, do you want to take it home with our final listener contribution this week?
Yes, this comes from Lauren, a.k.a. A Timely Fucking Evian, who says, Hi, FC stroke NC. I am rewatching Succession from the start. It's received wisdom that you have to watch a few episodes before it gets good. To that, can I just say, fuck off. As soon as I saw that shot of Kendall in his car rapping along before the music fell away, I couldn't imagine not watching at least two more episodes. The whole sourdough exchange, glorious. While I am conscious that I may be biased by having seen the rest of the shows, almost all of the characters are so perfectly formed so soon. Examples. One of the first time we see Cameron, he's explaining how he has vast water reserves and that eventually people will kill each other over water. The fact that when they say it's time to play the game, I immediately think, oh God, what absolutely awful, mega rich, problematic shit is this going to be? Hunting people, making poor people fight to the death, even though it's just baseball. I could go on, but my groundbreaking conclusion, seemingly, is just Succession is so good from the second it starts. Fuck off. Lauren, a.k.a. A Timely Fucking Evian. I could not agree more. A hard agree from me.
Yeah. I wanted to include this because we've spoken about this privately, which is that people talk about it not hitting the ground running. And if in the absence, when this season is over and you're wondering what to do with yourselves, I highly encourage a rewatch because it will blow your mind how good it is from scene one, episode one.
It's not like watching an early Seinfeld or Simpsons where they're brilliant and groundbreaking, yes. But you have to think about the context of the time and yes. Then they get supercharged by their own success. It's just that good.
It
from
hits
the
ground,
show.
Right? It's so interesting. It's like this thing people really get wrong about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw today on Twitter, J. Smith Cameron and our friend Arian tweeting about a tweet where somebody had said they can't watch more than one episode in a sitting because the people are so awful. Then I was looking at the replies and so many people just like, oh yeah, they're too awful. I can't watch it. It's too nasty. Somebody said the character's one-dimensional, which is just the most ludicrous thing. I can't think of something with the more multi-dimensional
characters. This is what's so interesting, isn't it? Is that if someone wants to say, I can't watch such horrible people, that doesn't resonate with, like, I find that a crazy thing. But people are different. If someone says they're one-dimensional, I think that person is just empirically an idiot.
Because I have a thing where if people are too nice, I can't watch it. Oh, there's a PS here as well. I'm 29. So
the youth like us, Jerry.
I'm 29, so the upper end of the call-out for young people who ship Jerry and Roman. But I ship them. And Roman is disgusting, but Kieran Culkin is incredibly hot.
I feel the exact opposite. I feel like Roman is kind of incredibly hot, but I find Kieran Culkin a little unsexy because of his hippie bracelets that I saw that he was wearing when he hosted SNL.
I don't think I could be put off by a hippie bracelet if other stuff was doing it for me.
Very broadly speaking, women have an ability to be put off by an accessory in a way that a man would just be like, no, I'll just fuck. It's a thing I've learned in my life.
I think we're fairly much through the episode. I did have a question. Somebody like Jess.
Yeah.
When she goes home to say her partner or her roommate, what does she say about her day at work? So discretion must be part of it, but you need to unload somewhere, right?
Yes. I do not believe she has a roommate. I feel strongly about this. I can see her apartment. I'm seeing her life.
Does she have a boyfriend or girlfriend?
She might, but I don't think she's living with a roommate. And I believe if she has a partner, and I projected straightness onto her, so I'm seeing her with a boyfriend. They live in an apartment. It's very organized. She has all her business lady outfits. And if she has a boyfriend, this guy is in investment banking. He's working 18-hour days, and they basically don't see each other.
All right. A best friend, then. Is there anyone...
She doesn't have a best friend. People don't have friends.
Is there anyone to whom she's saying, my fucking boss has bought this rabbit, and he's set up an iPad?
That's what you're asking.
Part of my job.
Does anyone hear about the rabbit cam from Jess?
Or just the insanity that unfolds in her life every day?
No.
How ridiculous do you think she thinks all that is?
Let me just think. A 3 out of 10. So it's like a bit of eye rolling, but the tiniest, and she would view that as this total betrayal. I always find that like funny when people like won't talk shit about other people. Because I'm so willing to do it. And I don't like, so when people are like, well, I would just never betray that. So that's sort of who she is. She would just never betray it.
Dear Jesse, if you listen to this, it doesn't matter how long in the future. Does Jess talk to anyone? Does she complain to anyone about Rabbit Cam? Thank you. Love, Sarah.
We got to wrap this shit up, buddy.
All right. Anything else you want from people?
Just want to know what you've observed that we've missed. As pointed out by the Beatles thing or the Shiv thing, there's so much in these episodes we can't get to all of it, and then you help us understand what we've missed.
All right, the email address.
fuckoff@firecotchandnormcore.com.
See you after the shareholder meeting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.